This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shanning. We're running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter, that's at BFM Radio, and we're asking you how much in toll charges do you avoid on your daily commute because you don't want to pay them. Your options are 1 ringgit to 5 ringgit 99, 6 ringgit to 10.99, 11 ringgit and above, or no tolls on my route. You've got a cup. You've got about an hour and a half left to weigh in on the poll. We've got about 16 votes so far, so please do let us know what you think. In the meantime, in some local news, recently Moody's has downgraded Petronas's domestic issuer and foreign currency senior unsecured rating from A1 to A2, and this is despite the rating agency concurrently upgrading the outlook for the National Oil Corporation to stable from negative.
So some of the reasons why Moody has done this is that it has updated its cross-sector methodology, their words, not mine, for assessing how sovereign credit quality can affect other ratings. And it will affect not just Petronas, but many of the non-financial corporates outside of Malaysia. Shani, what exactly does this mean?
In a nutshell, the argument was that the country's sovereign rating was two notches below that of Petronas. And the Moody's argued that two notches was a notch too wide. So they basically just narrowed it down to just one notch. And the argument for that is that basically Petronas is a 100% owned government entity. The government controls how Petronas spends its oil money, its dividends. And so they argue that the two notches is just too wide a gulf.
So I think the past ratings to me kind of made sense, because in past the oil and gas sector, was experiencing its glory days, right, where oil prices were quite high, and therefore Petronas should be rated at a better quality than the Malaysian government as a whole, which own a bunch of things, right, mm-hmm. and had a budget that had to cover everything under the sink. Whereas if you ring fence quality around the national oil company, that kind of made sense. But now, have things turned around?
Well, I think the Moody's cites one example whereby they say that the Petronas is really under the control of the government was last year when Petronas paid a special dividend of 30 billion ringgit to actually cover the shortfall in the GST payments. So that was one example they cite. It's also a question of that almost two-thirds of Petronas' assets and production and reserves are actually still based in Malaysia. Hence, there is very close linkage to the country.
I guess the question here for me would be, how much does this re-rating matter? Because our Prime Minister, for example, Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, he's downplayed it and he said that it's not expected to affect the National Oil and Gas Company. So he said that specifically, and I quote, Malaysia does not necessarily follow the opinion of rating agencies. So in this situation, I guess if he doesn't really care, why should we?
Well, I mean, you don't follow it until you do, right? When you go around with your begging bowl to international bond investors and ask them for money. And that's when they start looking at your ratings and determine what kind of interest rates to charge you. I guess it's relevant at some point. And it's very important for funding the development of a country, actually.
Yeah, but Moody's also did at the same time upgrade the outlook of the national oil company from to stable from negative. And they also cite that the Petronas remains a very strong one. It has net cash position of about 60 billion to 65 billion ringgit, and that the adjusted debt is below 1x, and total debt or total capitalization is in the range of 15% to 20%, while the possible downgrade threshold is 30% to 35%. So in other words, Petronas is in good financial health and it's not an issue at how things are run currently.
I think Dr. Mahathir is also currently attending the 20th Asia Oil and Gas Conference, or the AOGC 2019. And there is talk about prospering thy neighbour, which is a kind of taking the shared prosperity theme regionally, from locally to regionally. I'm not sure how they can do this. I guess right now a lot is contributed by the buoyancy of oil prices as a result of what's happening in Iran. But that can be short term, right? I don't know how you plan around whether President Trump wants to go to war with Iran or not. And after that, when you pump so much money into capital expenditure and Trump decides not to go to war and oil prices come down.
Now, we've got also another interesting personality here on a visit to Malaysia, and that specifically is Christine Lagarde. Now, she's Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund, and she's in Malaysia for a two-day visit. She met several top officials, including our Prime Minister, Tun Mahathir, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, as well as Bank Negara Governor, Dato' Nur Shamsiah Mohamed Yunus. And the purpose of her visit is to supposedly understand the progress in governance reforms, as well as policy priorities of the new government.
Yes, while speaking at a session in UM yesterday, she took the opportunity to share key aspects Malaysia should focus on. However, Lagarde told BFM News that more needs to be done to ensure these reforms can be implemented effectively if there is a change in government.
The work that we did to review the Malaysian economy has made some recommendations, and where we will acknowledge the progress already made and hope in particular that the governance principles be really enshrined and embedded in the legal system of Malaysia, because that is the best way to make sure that it will survive the passing of time and the change of authorities over the course of the many decades to come.
And that was Christine Lagarde, Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund. She also says that by focusing on good governance, education and the labour force participation of women, Malaysia will have the ingredients to create sustainable long-term growth. And she was also spoke about improving governance and tackling corruption. And she highlighted some of the dangers of institutionalised corruption and how this could hinder the country's potential to attract investors and create jobs. I rather think this is a little bit preaching to the choir, admittedly.
Yes, but also I think she is worried that there's too much invested into this whole trade tension, resulting in the trade diversion, a lot of FDI coming into Malaysia, which we see a lot of in the headlines today. And she is really saying that the gains from trade diversion, according to the Edge Financial Daily today, the gains from trade diversion is only short term. For the longer term, you need to invest in other things like capital expenditure and also your talent, right? I think that this is the second person to say something that's against recent headline. The other one is from Lee Hing Jui, who from the think tank Socioeconomic Research Center, who said who talked about export contraction and slowdown in private investments, which is really against the headlines of what we saw recently that, wow, we've benefited from all these trade diversions and FDIs have shot through the roof.
I think the question is more in terms of long term, right? Because a lot of these headlines that our finance minister has been talking about is very short term. The question is, are we really attracting long term FDI into this country? And that goes back to some of the questions we've had regards to our quality of our education, because are we having the right talent to progress as a country? So in spite of Malaysia investing in education dramatically over the last 20 years, I wonder whether we have yet to see the intended results being realised. Because we still rank below OECD average in maths, for example, reading and science, lowest quartile in this PISA rankings.
Yeah, I think when I was doing the research for the PTPT and Breakfast Grill, I think Malaysia just fell out of the rankings for its latest rankings, not ranked at all when countries like Indonesia and Thailand are in there, actually. So a lot has to be said for our education.
Actually, Julian, you also did speak to Tan Sri Abu Kassim, who's the Director General of the GIACC, the National Centre for Governance and Integrity and Anti-Corruption, earlier this year on the Breakfast Grill, right? So did you discuss these issues as well?
Yeah, I think they have big plans to sort of provide a lot more methodology and tactic, something more tactical and strategic to how they will tackle corruption. I guess the devil is always in the details, right? How this will pan out. Well, recently they've already hired a very outspoken Latifa Koya to the head of the MACC, and already she has gotten to work by sending those for features from 1MDB to those entities. And we'll see how it goes. I hope this goes somewhere and it's not just paying lip service.
And you can catch that full conversation on the BFM app. Now we're coming up on the 7:30 news and then more international stories for you. So be sure to stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.